Yeshaya Perek Vav Pasuk Aleph, Lazecher Nishmas Avimori Pesel David Ben Avram Nata. The Perek begins Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uzziyahu, and it was in the year of the death of King Uzziyahu, which sets off a major argument between some of the Mefarshim on what this actually means. So, according to many, beginning with Rashi, the Targum, other Mefarshim, they bring down that this actually should have been, chronologically, the beginning of Sefer Yeshaya. It was Yeshaya's first prophecy. And that would be, as we see in Pasuk Ches, when we get there, the idea of Yeshaya being offered the opportunity to prophesy and initially refusing, initially stepping back and saying, I'm not the one that you necessarily want. Although he does volunteer, he says, I'm here, send me. He has a kind of hesitation. And Rabbi Binyamin Lau points out that that could connect with Moshe being reluctant in Parsha Shmos, Yirmiyahu, you could even argue perhaps Yonah being reluctant to send out a rough message to the people. Now, if this would be his first opportunity to give a nevuah, that would mean that Perakim Aleph through Hey were later on in his career. So Rashi and others say, Ein Muktam U'Mu'uchar B'Torah, that in the Nach, it's not necessarily a chronological progression, and this could have happened earlier. But there are others, chiefly the Radak, excuse me, and others along with him, who argue that this was not his first prophecy, that it might be in a semi-chronological order, and rather, the mention of the death of Uzziyahu is a reference to an earlier part of Uzziyahu's career. 16 years before he ceased being king, Uzziyahu, who was an amazingly righteous man, an incredibly successful king, endowed, as Rabbi Hirsch says, with great courage and strategic expertise, had achieved astonishing success in military campaigns. He had introduced highly efficient methods of farming and cattle breeding to Yehuda, raised the nation's economic capacity, his name spread far and wide. He says, quoting Divrei HaYamim, but the problem was, when he was strong, the Nach and Divrei HaYamim says, his heart became proud to the point of corruption, and he broke faith with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, went into the Beis HaMikdash, and tried to sacrifice Ketores, the incense, on the Mizbeach, which he was not permitted to do. 80 Kohanim tried to stand against him, he forced his way in, he tried to bring a sacrifice, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately caused him to erupt with leprosy that would last for the rest of his life, and he would be a leper. There was then, at the same time, a huge earthquake that is also mentioned in Sefer Amos and Sefer Zechariah, that is a well-known ancient world event, and that is linked to Uzziyahu HaMelech making this disastrous misjudgment and bringing himself into the Beis HaMikdash to try to assume an office that did not belong to him. So some say most Melech Uzziyahu can refer to that moment, the moment where he was struck down with leprosy. And in fact, we will see later at the end of the Perek when we talk about between Perek Bav and Zion, the idea that a regency was established with his son Yosam, who was even more righteous than he was. So in any case, in the year of the death of King Uzziyahu, or so it's written in Yeshaya, Bo'era es Hashem Yoshev al Kisei Ram Benisa. And this inaugurates the first part of the Perek, the Maisa HaMerkava, which is a very, very short description, as opposed to the first Perek of Yechezkel, where the same scene of the Maisa HaMerkava, of the heavenly throne and the heavenly glory and the heavenly chariot, are described in great detail. And so the Gemara tells us that Kol Shara Yechezkel Ra Yeshaya, the two of them saw the same thing. Everything Yechezkel saw, Yeshaya saw. But Lama Yechezkel Doma Leben Kfar Shara Es HaMelech. Yechezkel is compared to a farmer, a villager who sees the king. And so he's awestruck by everything he sees and describes it in detail to the folks back home. Ulama Yeshaya Doma Leben Krach Shara Es HaMelech. But Yeshaya is compared to a city dweller, a sophisticated person, a member of the king's family, who sees the Melech Malchei Amlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he describes it in a much terser description that doesn't include every single detail. Nevertheless, the Maisa Merkava is kind of an awesome view behind the pargod, behind the curtain, into Shamayim. And so Yeshaya says, I saw Hashem sitting, kivayachol, because God doesn't have a physical body, so it's an anthropomorphism, but sitting on an exalted throne. HaMelech Yoshev al Kisei Ram Benisa, we say. V'shulav Malei Imes HaHechol. And his lower extremity, his lower half, fills up the Beis HaMikdash from the waist down, the legs that protrude from the throne. But of course, this again is not really a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any physical way, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kivayachal, as it were, on his own 2 feet, as opposed to just on a chariot. So there's this sense of majesty and presence filling up the great chamber of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, later on in the last parak of Yeshaya, we're going to say Hashem says that Shamayim Kisi V'aretz Hadom Ragloi, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool, Hashem is going to say. And so you build me a Beis HaMikdash for my Shechina to rest in. And so Yeshaya continues, Beis Serafim Omdim Mima'alo, Serafim stood above for him, not above him, but up in Shomayim, to serve him. So the Serafim are his servants, whatever that means. If we talk about some kind of picture of an angel like the Christians tend to put in their paintings and attempts to capture it somehow on canvas, it wouldn't do justice to what the Serafim are. And Shesh Knofayim Le'echad, each one had 6 wings. B'shtayim Yichasef Onav, 2 of the wings, with 2, he would cover his face, each of the Serafim. U'v'shtayim Yichasef Raglov, and with 2 he would cover his feet. U'v'shtayim Ye'ofef, and with 2 he would fly. So there's a sense that the Serafim are not stationary, but continually in movement, but also not showing themselves completely, not revealing themselves to the human eyes of Yeshaya that are watching. And finally, Pasuk Gimel, because we're a little over time today, we had to do a little bit of introduction to the parak. We'll need to do that a few times this parak. Bekara ze el ze ve'omar, and this should be very familiar to anybody who goes to davening. And each one called to the other and said, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Melo chol ha'aretz kivodo, the whole earth is full of his glory. And so, of course, we say this in davening every day, to be doma ourselves to the malachim singing praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on this source, that each one is asking, Karazel Zevi Amar, each one asking the other for permission to speak up and to say these great words about Hashem, that Hashem is Kadosh, 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 holy, 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 with the whole earth being full of his glory. So, they inform each other of the revelation that they become aware of simultaneously, says Rabbi Julius Hirsch on this. And they say that the entire universe and all within it are the glory of Hashem. And the idea of Kedusha is the idea of everything that is good and noble, sanctity, holiness of a level that, you know, humans can only barely aspire to, that we try to do our best. Our task is v'his kadishtem v'haya kodesh, as it says in Vayikra, that we are supposed to try to meet the challenge of achieving a state of holiness for ourselves. Hashem Tzavakos created all beings, including the human race, but he remains holy beyond, you know, anyone's reach. He is above everything on a metaphysical level. And of course, this is a metaphysical description of a scene. This scene described in human terms of a throne and a chariot and fiery angels with wings. So Hashem is holy. His proximity can only tolerate that which is kadosh, that which is holy, to be in any nearness to him. The idea that Hashem's holy Torah has authority over all of life, we have to work, as the Seraphim do, to be, as he says, bearers of God's presence on earth. So a kind of tremendous message from the Seraphim at a time in the waning years of King Uzziah, because, as we're going to see, the Beis HaMikdash has lost a lot of its elevating influence on Jewish life. There is a loss of sanctity among the people, and so they need this message at a time when holiness is beginning to wane, as we start tumbling down towards destruction and make our way through the generations and through some of the worst kings in our history as we make our way through.